Welcome, everyone, to the Workforce Navigator podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host, and we have a fantastic conversation. We have a fantastic guest today in Tony Shara. Tony, you are the Senior Manager of Talent Acquisition Programs at Microvention, but you had stints at Tesla and Facebook and Apple, and as a result of all of that, and now what you are implementing at Microvision, we're going to talk today about all new disruption of recruitment and retention norms. How do we fill this pipeline in an era where talent is scarce? Yet we know that employees drive the success of businesses overall. So what I'd love to do is get right into that. But if you could, give us just a little bit of a background on you beyond the listing of the companies that you've been with, and then we'll get started right in here.
Sounds good, Stephen. Hey, thanks for having me on. So yeah, I think everyone in talent acquisition doesn't know that they were getting into talent acquisition before they got into talent acquisition. Kind of fell into it right after college. So I was going to either go to law school or finance and did some financial sales, and that led to technical sales, which then led me to reconsidering my career opportunities and through some referrals and really good friends of mine. They were like, hey, have you ever thought about talent acquisition? So I cut my teeth in the agency world and realized I like this. I like this space. It feels comfortable, feels good with me. It's a challenge. Got an opportunity to meet some amazing people. And that led to the opportunity at Tesla was through, again, treating everyone like a lottery ticket and who do you know type thing. And so got the role at Tesla, and that's where I really learned what recruitment was all about and talent acquisition and attraction. Got an opportunity to see some amazing things and be a part of something on the ground floor and the trials and tribulations and watch it kind of skyrocket. In the meantime, also got some opportunities to check out some big time companies like Apple and Facebook. But ultimately, the mission and the drive of a mission was what brought me back to Tesla to finish what I started. And from there, another beautiful 7 years of working with some of the most talented, smartest people I've ever met and worked with, and just super proud and humbled every step of the way by the people and products that we would work on. And once I got off that rocket ship, definitely led me to thinking, like, now that I know what I'm doing or feel like I know what I'm doing, how can I apply that in other places? So that's where I am today, Microvention, and just continue to be humbled by this space and the med device space and how we better our patients' lives. And how do we continue to bring the best and brightest on site, as well as fill those gaps that are really tough to fill? So yeah, that's where I'm at today, here with you.
Here's what I love about this is the innovative thinking at companies like Tesla. I can only imagine, and in the minds that you're working with here, what's great is for everybody who's listening in is that these are ideas and innovations that you can apply at any company, and you're doing it right now at Microvention. So what I want to do is I want to jump right in. And number one thing that you're thinking through when you're implementing, started at Tesla, you're doing today, is the idea of building your own talent pipeline, which in an era of talent shortage, that's an amazing opportunity. Tell us a little bit about your thinking on building this talent pipeline and how you do it.
It's actually pretty straightforward, and that's like building your own bench, your own talent pipeline. But how we really is like, what's your problem? All right, we have a shortage in this area. Why do we have a shortage? It's because maybe it's a location or area. Location does play a huge factor in that. And then what are the skills and things that we need? And is something we can train? Is this something we have to outsource? And so the beautiful thing about bringing things in-house, and I learned a lot of this at Tesla, is you get to control the story. You get to control the narrative. There's a lot of work, but there's a lot of power in that. And I think at the end of the day, if you do it right, you get an unbelievable workforce that's bought in from day one, knows how to do it. And it's that follows that whole attract, train, and retain mentality, that ethos, that mantra, whatever that, you know, how that line of process you want to use. And it does. It's because there's a lot of cost savings in keeping people. And there's a lot of things that little nuances that you can get built into people early on to help build them the career. And further it, you're not just doing it for you. You're doing it for that person's career projection and trajectory, because they get to walk away, whether they're with that company or not, saying, hey, I've got these skills. I'm more attractive. But there's a benevolent agenda to it, or some altruistic approach to it, I guess you could say.
I know that Tesla applies innovation, disruption. That's their brand, that they do it with everything. What are the kinds of things with an apprenticeship program, an internship program, that you think that you did differently at Tesla, you're doing differently now, that is breaking that norm and taking it to another level?
Yeah, I think the thing we did a really good job at was taking inventory of what's already out there. And it's like taking out, we pounded the pavements, went to all these different trade schools, community colleges, we're on campuses at a lot of universities and whatnot. And you're seeing, how are you training the future talent? And then it's also, there's a little bit of social anthropology. It's like, why is this population here? So understanding the nuances, especially when it comes to communities of concern, that's where you're seeing a lot of these populations coming out of, because they don't have access to some of these things, or they don't know any other way. And so they see, okay, I'll go to a community college and maybe I'll work on cars, or they don't realize, hey, this could lead to a whole nother world. So I think first and foremost, it was taking stock, like what's out there. And then it was like, what's it putting out? It's not putting out the product that we need. So it's like almost approaching it like building a product itself. It was like, it's nothing to these schools' fault, because they're handcuffed by the bureaucracies that they abide by. And so we took this approach where it's like, what if we took over that training? What if we were the ones who managed that? I'm not held to some sort of curriculum board or whatnot. And then that ended into finding like the happy medium where it's like, hey, school, if you hosted us, help us build a curriculum and then we'll train it. So it really was putting skin in the game. It was like saying, hey, we want to be shepherds in our community. We want to take advantage. Here, we've got this population. We're going to help you train these folks in the meantime. But at the benefit is for us. Like selfishly, it's for us. There's that, those terms like skills bridge, skills gap and bridge gap and whatever you want, technical gaps that you might see from school to the workforce. We were really literally plugging ourselves in there and saying, all right, we're going to take your best students. We're going to take folks from who are already out there in the industry, folks from the military who we feel have the foundational skills. And we're going to train them on our ways with our training, with our technology. All of our instructors were employees of the company. And so it really allowed us to control that story all along the way. And it produced a really awesome product within 12 to 16 weeks that we got to distribute out into the world at various service centers that had big needs. And or had the ability to continue training these folks, because that's another mistake I think a lot of us, a lot of companies do make is, hey, we train them, they're ready. It's like training is not just the one, it's a journey, it continues. And so making sure that we had service centers that were bought in and managers that were like, hey, I'm going to keep an eye on this person. And because the trajectory was so high, again, taking inventory, figuring out what the gap was, filling that gap, and then executing on it.
I've got two really important questions here. One is, you talked about how this has to be a benefit for us. So at that time, Tesla, and be very open and overt about it. There has to be a benefit for the community college too. How is this program sold in differently? And how's it approached differently so that the community colleges, they're like all over it too? Or is it just the cachet of Tesla? But you're doing this now with Microvention. I'm just thinking of the audience that's listening and saying, this is a fantastic idea. I love this. How do we start doing this? And it's that balance of, it's got to be a benefit for us and them.
Totally. It's got to work for both. It's got to be a very mutually beneficial situation. Surprisingly, these schools and a lot of these schools are clamoring for this business interaction. A lot of these schools have what they're called PACs, or professional advisory committees. We have folks from the industry who sit on it and guide the curriculum and say suggestions on this, that, or other, maybe sponsor. A lot of times it's just a meeting and then they maybe provide pizza, but it really is like, how much are you willing to invest? And in the automotive industry, it's actually, that is commonplace. Most auto tech schools or programs, every major manufacturer has like some sort of advanced training program at that level. So we really had to take that approach to is, hey, school, can we take your current curriculum, or do you have classes in your current curriculum that we can apply to said training? And we mirrored it and made this like articulation agreement of some sort, so that could this become accredited? Because the moment you can get a program accredited, that's where the school benefits, because then the school gets tuition, the school gets accreditation. What people don't know is community colleges in general are funded via grants and state funding. And it's based on attendance, on completion rates. So by having good programs out there, they attract people, which then allows them to get these completion rates.
The benefits are there for the school. The benefits are there for you. Can you tell me a story whether it's Tesla or Microvention, about how this truly impacted your business. Obviously, we can think better trained people are going to come in and do a better job. But I know that the story is much greater than that.
When a company's struggling for folks, skilled technicians in the EV space, it was taking a while to train folks just off the street. Whereas our students, our graduates coming out of the program, were able to hit the ground running on day one. Like the biggest question they might have is, where's the bathroom? Because they might move to a new service center or whatnot. And so what we were seeing was their effectiveness, which is monitored via versatility chart. We essentially mirrored everything that all of the full-time technicians were being trained on and how they were being monitored. We did the same thing with the program. We're noticing that they were picking up speed quicker and they were becoming more efficient. They were being more impactful. So fix it first time rates, ability to get cars through lines. They were also being utilized in different areas across the business. Some were getting sent back to the factory to do end of line, which in a lot of car factories, end of line is like a service center, but at the end of the line, because it was like car might need one or two little things that are fixed. Here we go. It's like immediately, hey, who do we have from the START program? Where can we push these people? And then full circle, what was happening was as we were expanding to different schools, we need new instructors. So we would have these graduates were out in the field and doing well and getting promoted. And then a lot of them were like, hey, I want to be an instructor too, because I felt the amount of impact that I got. So then it became a pipeline for our instructors as well. And so when opening up a new school or a new program, we had people ready to go who knew how the program was run, who understood what it is that we were trying to get out of. And from that point, it flourished and it became like, hey, this is awesome. And now we're pumping out about 300-400 people a year for this need. And some of the leadership saw, hey, we could see this in other verticals. So that's when we started looking at it from an energy perspective. And then we started looking at it from a manufacturing perspective. And then that became a really big part of Tesla moving to Austin and that opening up that big manufacturing. It's like, we need to train folks for robotics. How do we do that? And it's, we've got this framework right here with START. Let's just take the robotics content and put it in. And so we had folks coming out becoming maintenance technicians right away. And we were continuing to build this pipeline for folks from the Austin area working with an Austin school. So it was like for them, by them, to fill the factory with folks that, you know, for a role that was really difficult for us to find. So it had a great foundation. And that was all due in part. We had a killer training team and they were the nuts and bolts of this program. And I just happened to be just like a perfect symbiotic relationship where it's, I had these ideas and I had these people and they had these ideas and they needed these people and they put the framework together and we just went out and did it. And that was like the cool thing about some of these programs is, at least with the Tesla ideas, is you can show, you go and do it. And if you can show value, then they'll continue. They'll like, all right, let's give you more money to do this. Whereas a lot of times companies will be like, hey, I need a business case. I need this to be worth something. We didn't have time to go through that back and forth. We just did it and then built it and ran with it and showed that there was a value add here. On top of that, it was mission critical and it was really helping. And it was helping this population of workforce that didn't think that they'd ever work at a company like Tesla. So been able to take that mentality and really look at workforce from a different lens. And so here I am at this amazing company in the med device space, Microvention. And you guys make catheter technology for neurovascular disease states. How does this apply? And funny enough, I came on board, they already had something going with it. They had this rotational program for engineers. And it's not uncommon, again, at a lot of places. It was bringing in a really strong champion. Like, so our chief of staff, one of our senior directors was like, I think we can do better with this. And I said, I think we can do better with this as well. I know we can because of my experience. So let's take really turned on kids and bring them in and run them through this rotation. And then they become like the future bench, future leader of our R&D industry. And before we started our third cohort in August, and it's an 18-month rotation, our second cohort didn't even get to go get to their third rotation because they'd already been snapped up by different groups being like, we really want this person in this role. Kudos to like the training and program development side of things. But what it's done too is it's become this go-to for all new engineers and new talent because they've already proven themselves. They proved themselves just by getting the job because we had this last year, we had almost 500 applicants. We have five make it through. The year before, we had over 300 applicants and we had another five come through. And so we're getting some of the best and brightest students, graduates, either the undergrad or master's programs, coming in and really developing themselves and figuring out what they're good at. Some of them have gone in different areas. Some of them have gone like the quality route or the regulatory affairs route because they get exposure to that and they say, hey, you know what? I really like this. I guess that benefits us because now you got someone super turned on going into a role that is sometimes tough to find. It's really, how do you continue to evolve that? How do you continue to build those programs? And so now I get this opportunity to like, hey, we're struggling with certain things in maybe the skilled trades or production world. Guess what? I've done this. Let's start calling around to some of the local schools, see what some of them are already doing. What are some of the programming that they already have? And that's like the low-hanging fruit in this whole situation. It's again, I'm not being innovative. I think I'm more so being resourceful. There are programs all over the place. This is not something that is like not new news. The workforce development is the flavor of the month for every politician every month. How do my constituents get jobs? So these programs are out there. We're fortunate down here in Orange County, we've got some really cool consortiums of schools that are like the community colleges have decided, hey, instead of fighting each other, let's work together and who's got the best programs for these certain things. And let's build our own like manufacturing programs to help the local workforce. And with us, who better than your own people to know how to train your people? We already have training programs. So let's take inventory of what we got. How do we maybe take the risk of separating it and letting someone go through training and figuring and developing them and figuring it out? And it really is a mindset shift. We've got these people with these mindsets of, I want to do this job. I want to do it well. And I'm bought in because guess what? When you invest in people, you know, they reciprocate. So yeah, it really is being resourceful.
It's amazing because I've heard about 10 different, what I think are factors that demonstrate success of the program based on what you've been saying. One of the biggest ones is it just expanded from one group to the next group to the next group. Obviously, that doesn't happen if it's not doing incredibly well. To actually the students that come through not only fully trained, but then getting fed back in to be the instructors. And they're in, so they've been in the factory, now they're teaching. It's not as much an academic as it is real life experience of what you can learn, right? That you can teach and how you can motivate. So I love the idea here. But here's my question to you is at the end of the day, if I'm going to talk to Microvention or Tesla senior management or the board, and they're going to say, okay, why do they think this program is successful? I'm hearing all kinds of reasons from you that are phenomenal, right? But now the leadership of the company, you are in workers that are driving more efficiency out of the factory. Huge, absolutely huge on the impact of the business, right? What are the metrics that they're looking at? How would they judge this?
Yeah, no. So obviously dollars and cents, that's like the obvious, like how much does this cost versus what's the return on investment for us? So that's one aspect. And that's a big aspect that we really look at is like, how much is this program going to cost us? And that's why we start getting creative and working with workforce development groups or working with the schools to really develop programs that allowed us to minimize our costs, but increase the impact for both the school or for all parties, the school, the student, and ourselves. A Microvention situation, I think it really is like, how do we continue to attract the best talent? And I think programs like this, people want. How many people do you know? What are you going to be when you're an engineer? What type of engineer? To be honest with you, I don't know because I haven't had experience in certain areas. So I don't know what I want. I don't know exactly what I want to be. Well, here we're going to give you that opportunity to get exposure in all these different areas to figure out what it is. And so the dollars and cents of reducing the time to filling roles, increasing just a buzz at the school level. Hey, I had a great internship, or hey, I'm in the EDP program at Microvention, I'm going through a rotation. People, it creates this buzz because we also are competing with folks in the same area, in the same space. So how do you set yourself apart? So I think from a dollars and cents perspective, you're looking at like how much or how little do we have to spend to make sure we're getting the best and brightest, developing them, and then they are being effective. And I think that some of the numbers, I haven't done it here at Microvention, but I will say the fact that some of our program is already finished before the third rotation, they didn't even get to their third rotation because they're all swooped up. So that's like the metrics right there. They're already all swooped up because they are making impact. And it didn't take us really anything to fill that role because they're already here. We've created this buzz and this like cachet with the program, with the name of the company. And so that matriculates into the atmosphere as well. People are like, hey, this is a great company to go work at. And then further, again, it really adds to the culture, which is something that people also are always looking at. And that is a dollars and cents perspective as well. So if you're hiring great people and you're turning them on and you're investing in them, they in return reciprocate and are great people and great workers, and they are turning everyone else on, right? And that's one of the things I love about Microvention is in the healthcare space and in the med device space, a lot of people here are very like patient forward, right? And the atmosphere is there, creates that atmosphere. And so we've got a great culture and now we're just trying to make it better and or more so like echoing it. We're shouting from the rooftops that we do have a great culture by bringing in these students, by having great programs, by being intentional with our programming. I went a long way from the dollars and cents, but I think at the end of the day, from a cost perspective, when you're building your own pipelines, that doesn't cost you anything other than obviously some man hours or labor hours and workforce hours and that. There are the fact that you're able to pull from this well of amazing talent that's already there, that you're not utilizing outside resources, building your own inside. Also, you're controlling the quality, which controls costs at the end of the day. When you have people who are doing their job because they love it and they're doing the best job possible, you're going to get great results, which leads to cost savings. So you might not see it immediately, but down the line, it definitely has some play. I would say like at the skilled trades level, at the manufacturing and production level, you definitely can see it just because you've got these, one, it's you've got enough of a labor force so that there's no backup, because that's what would happen in a service center is, hey, we don't have enough technicians to get cars out. So then what's the biggest thing that people are complaining about is service. And that's one of those things that people inherently already don't like about the automotive industry is buying cars and servicing cars. So if you can try and continue to remove that stigma in any way, shape, or form by like putting out cars quickly and done right, you're removing that stigma that builds brand loyalty from a customer perspective.
Wait, building brand is not only at the consumer level through what you're doing here, but you're building a brand like for Microvention or for Tesla in the schools. You're building excitement, their understanding. Familiarity is huge. And if you're going through a program, you're being trained by people that have worked at Microvention or at Tesla, you're predisposed. You know your path. You know where you're going. And then you're going to reinforce that. And that word of mouth that you talked about and that buzz that you get, that's branding at a whole new level. That's employee branding even before they become employees. So here's what I have as a last question for you. If there was one takeaway from that you wanted people to know, to take away from everything we've had in this conversation so far, what would that be?
That's a tough question, Steve. And that's probably why you're in that seat to ask me it. I think invest in yourselves. And as a company, as an employee, as a brand, if you wanted to make it catchy, it's like when given the chance, I'd always double down on myself. And that's a quote from a good friend of mine. But it's like, as a company, you control your narrative. Don't trust other people to control the narrative. Like, you can double down on yourself, invest in your talent, invest in your workforce, invest in your brand, invest in your people, because it will pay off tenfold, especially in this competitive, crazy market that we're in, where people are leaving for money. It's give them a reason not to leave for money. Give them a reason to stay. Give them a reason to build a career with you. And I think it is looking inside. It's like looking internally and being like, how do we do this better? So how do we take care of our people?
I love it. I have a feeling we could go on for an hour here. People are going to have questions. I know they are. Would it be appropriate if we gave out maybe a link to your LinkedIn profile so people could reach out and get a hold of you?
Happy to.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for coming on and just giving us a whole new perspective. Call it innovative, call it disruptive. Here's my takeaway. It's the degree that you put into these programs is the degree of how much you're going to get out of them. And what I'm taking away here is that you didn't go with a traditional apprenticeship program. You really built the program and restructured it from scratch. And I love that. And I think that's something that we can all take away from this. Thank you. Thank you for all of your wisdom. I appreciate it.
And thank you for having me.